The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
I have here in front of me a book which President Donald Trump has said has been written by authors who are two third-rate Washington Post reporters. And he's claimed that the book is all for the purpose of demeaning and belittling a president who's getting great things done for our country at a record clip. The book is called A Very Stable Genius, and it has been written by the Washington Post White House Bureau Chief Philip Rucker, along with Carol Leonig. And Philip is with us here today. Philip, thank you very much for joining us. How proud are you of that endorsement from President Donald Trump?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's great to talk with you about the book. And, you know, I don't know if you want to call that an endorsement, but I will say we're just pleased that the president is paying attention and reading A Very Stable Genius.
Well, I don't know if he has ever read a book of the size of yours, but it's exceptionally detailed. It's really authoritative. Tell us a little bit about how you've managed to get all of this information into the public domain, some of which you expand upon things there previously, other things which I haven't read and I think many other people hadn't read previously.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. We, Carol and I both have been covering the presidency, and it's been a one crisis after another, sort of every hour of every day. And what we wanted to do was just effectively hit the pause button and try to look back and go back to all of these big moments in the presidency and really understand what actually happened behind the scenes. Go back and talk to the principals who were in the room at the time, understand what the president did, what he said, how he acted, what was said behind the curtain, and try to bring that to life so that we could have a better understanding of what's gone on in this country the last 3 years and to try to detect some patterns in this presidency and of this president. You know, we see the book not only as a history project, but as a character study of Donald Trump as the president and commander-in-chief.
Yeah, what sort of character do you believe him to be?
Well, he has shown himself to be a man who prioritizes his self-image, his popularity. He makes decisions based on what's best for Donald Trump, not necessarily what's best for the country or for the long-term security for the nation. And that's not our opinion. That's according to many of the people we interviewed. Carol and I talked to more than 200 senior administration officials and other friends and advisors and confidants of the president to form this portrait. And what we found is that the North Star for President Trump is the perpetuation of his own power. And every day that he's in office, he's making decisions, many of them by impulse. By gut. He's making decisions about how to survive to the next day, how to maintain his power and expand it.
This phrase, a very stable genius, is one that he has ascribed to himself. Does he really believe that? Does he actually believe that he knows everything, that he is a genius, and that in addition, he's also an extremely balanced, well-measured individual?
He does believe that. And, you know, a little history lesson here, that phrase is a very stable genius is one that Trump first used in January of 2018. There was a national discussion underway about his mental acuity, his psychological health, his fitness for the presidency. And Trump took to Twitter to defend himself. And part of his defense was claiming to be not only a genius, but a very stable genius. And he's used that same self-description at least four additional times since then. And so we wanted to hold that up and stress test it against the accounts of so many of the people who worked at his side. And what we found is that he does believe that he has superior intelligence. He believes he knows more than any of the people around him. He believes that he has the best ability to make decisions. And so he would characterize himself to be a very stable genius. It's worth pointing out, by the way, that many of those who worked with Trump do not consider him to be either stable or a genius. They have a lot of deep concerns and reservations about his decision-making and his knowledge base.
But does he have a lot of people around him who do think he is a genius?
You know, there are people who've worked for the president who we talked to for this book who think he has some genius characteristics. For example, he has an ability to connect emotionally and build a durable bond with tens of millions of Americans, his supporters. He can control the megaphone like nobody else in politics. He has an instinct for the media news cycle and an instinct for how to be in the middle of political combat. day to day, but that doesn't necessarily make him a stable genius overall. And what we found in our reporting is that he actually rejects intelligence from the experts. He rejects information. He doesn't read his briefings. He chooses to make decisions in the moment without much knowledge about what he's talking about.
And yet with total self-confidence. You recount an exchange that allegedly took place between him and Anthony Scaramucci, the very brief serving White House communications director who is now actively critical of President Trump. And it says that Scaramucci said he once asked Trump, "Are you an act?" And Trump reportedly replied, "I'm a total act and I don't understand why people don't get it." Now, do you believe that Scaramucci is reporting that accurately?
I do believe that phone conversation took place, and that, you know, Scaramucci's recollection, which he provided on the record in the book, is what happened. I mean, I wish we could have had a chance to talk to President Trump and get his account of that conversation and ask him to explain what he meant by saying he's an act. But it certainly, in Scaramucci's telling, is very much in keeping with the pattern and the conduct and character that we've come to know from this president through the rest of our reporting.
One thing that strikes me, Philip Rucker, about the entire Trump administration is the very few people who seem to have been willing to stand up to him publicly to actually call into question his behavior or his judgment. Are there any heroes in your book who actually have been brave and who've paid a price for doing that?
You know, we actually write in the book that there are no perfect heroes, not even Robert Mueller, the special counsel who was in many ways Trump's antagonist and sought to find the truth in what happened with Russian interference. I mean, he had flaws in executing his investigation and especially in persuading the public of its findings, of the facts. So there are no heroes here, but we do have accounts in the book of certain people in the administration who at various moments have stood up to the president, who have told him no, who have challenged him. There's a memorable scene that was in some of the excerpts that came out about the president getting a briefing in the Pentagon in a sacred room there called the tank, and he was growing impatient with the briefing, and he snapped at the generals and other officials around the table and said, "You're a bunch of dopes and babies." He said, "I wouldn't go to war with you people." It was a harrowing moment for those who've worn the uniform. And one person stood up to the president in that setting, and that was Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, and told him that he was wrong to be disrespectful like that to soldiers, that those who join our military don't do so for profit or for money, but they do so to support their country. And it was a moment of friction that forever changed his relationship with the president. And of course, several months later, he was fired unceremoniously on a tweet.
Did it also emphasize that for Trump, nearly everything is transactional and is in relation to how you can make money out of it? At one stage, he seemed to have a plan that he wanted any American soldiers to be serving overseas to actually be making money for the United States.
That's right. He saw our military deployments around the world and continues to see it this way as an opportunity for profit, a way to make money for taxpayers in the U.S. He didn't seem to really understand or at least appreciate the historical role our military has played around the world, that we have bases in all sorts of places, especially in tense regions like the Korean Peninsula, in order to keep America safe, in order to protect our allies that we rely upon. Rather, he thought if we're going to have a troops somewhere on a base, that country hosting those troops should be paying us rent, should be leasing the services of our military. And he challenged the generals several times in scenes that we report in the book about that and wanting to make profit off of those troops.
And of course, then he also at one stage said that he thought it was unfair that American companies aren't allowed to pay bribes to get business done overseas.
That's exactly right. There's a law here called the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act that's been on the books for decades, really. And the president has long not liked this law. He thinks it is too restrictive for American companies. He thinks American companies can compete globally better if they're able to bribe foreign officials. And so he, at one point in his first year as president, he told Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, in the Oval Office, Rex, I want you to get rid of this law. I want you to repeal it. We should be able to, companies in America should be able to bribe foreign governments to do business abroad. And Tillerson had to say, you know, no, sir, I'm not the guy to do that. Of course, that wouldn't have even been possible. That's not something that the executive can do unilaterally. To repeal a law would require an act of Congress.
The book is full of some extraordinary stories, Philip. Tell us about the time he visited Pearl Harbor and what his former chief of staff, John Kelly, said about that.
Yeah. So, you know, President Trump in 2017, the end of the year, his first year in office, made his maiden voyage to Asia for a big summit of world leaders. And on the way to Asia, he stopped off in Hawaii. And he did what many presidents before him have done, which is pay a visit to the memorial for Pearl Harbor, of course, one of the most sacred places in our country's history. And as President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump were making their way into the water to visit the USS Arizona Memorial, he turned to his chief of staff, John Kelly, and said, John, what is this all about? You know, Trump had heard of Pearl Harbor before. He knew that it was the scene of some kind of a battle, but he just didn't understand what had happened there. He didn't know the full history. He didn't understand the significance of that particular scene. And Kelly, flabbergasted, had to explain to the President of the United States what happened at Pearl Harbor, that this was the attack by the Japanese that propelled America into World War II.
That sounds scarcely believable. And this is one of the problems, unfortunately, that's developed with Trump in office, that even if you have extraordinary amount of detail, multiple sources in relation to something like this, there still will be denial from Trump and all his acolytes. And we seem to live in a world of superficiality and deception and lies. And even when you and your colleague Carol Leenig write this book, A Very Stable Genius, it will just be dismissed in the words like the ones I quoted from Trump at the very start of this interview. What do you do in a situation like that?
Yeah, well, let me just correct something here, which is that that Pearl Harbor anecdote has actually not been denied or challenged by the White House. In fact, the White House or the president have not challenged any of the details that we report in A Very Stable Genius. The president has issued a blanket statement calling the book a work of fiction, but you know, he's not dismissed any of the reporting in the book. And Carol and I don't report a scene like Pearl Harbor lightly. It's been fact-checked with multiple firsthand witnesses.
But the point is that Trump and his acolytes will do, as you say, a blanket dismissal. They won't get into any of the details of individual items. And they have so many people at this stage gulled who just believe them when they issue the denials.
Exactly. Well, that is true. And that has been the case for several years now, where the president will call solid, rigorous, scrupulous reporting fake news because he doesn't like it, because he thinks it's too negative about him. It is, in fact, real news. And you know, we take great pride at The Washington Post in how we fact-check our stories and making sure we are rigorous and present only the truth. And the president dismisses it, and tens of millions of his followers believe him. So that's a real shame. It's something that journalists here at The Post and elsewhere are having to confront every day as we do our work.
And it's important work, and it's an important book, and an exceptionally readable one as well. A Very Stable Genius has been written by Philip Rucker with Carol Leenig. Thank you very much, Philip, for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.